Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Kate.
Hey, it's Devin.
Welcome to Med Crimes. There she goes again. You just can't stop her.
Can't stop, won't stop. So much energy. We just had lunch.
We did. And we have a very special guest with us today.
With a very fancy title.
Our DoorDasher that brought us Five Guys is in our basement in our pod lab.
Let's give a shout out to the phenomenal DoorDasher who brought us shakes, burgers, and fries. Mm. Hey, Diane.
Hey, Diane. Thanks for being our first guest.
Actually, also our first Patreon.
Yes, she was.
She was our first Patreon.
The beautiful sea mermaid.
Sea mermaid.
She's just crashing with us for a few minutes while we're coming off of our carb sugar high here for, you know, and just kind of wanted to see what the whole pod thing was like.
I mean, I just ate so fast. I told these girls, I'm like, they're like only like a quarter. Devin was only a quarter of the way through her burger, and I was like,
I just garbled
it. I inhaled it. It was pretty gross, but the burger itself was delicious, and the shake. Oh my god, I got a salted caramel shake. Today is the day we finish up Janine Jones. We wrap that bitch up.
What did you people think?
God, please tell us, because this is a rough one. This is a heavy, heavy, heavy case.
This girl.
Especially for us mamas who have children of our own, young children.
And children who have been in the hospital.
Yes, like, exactly.
You know, my child has spent a night in the hospital, and I'm just thinking, God, if something like... You know, I don't even have to say it.
No, it goes without saying. It goes absolutely without saying.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know, doctors and nurses are like among the most trusted professions that exist.
We put the care of our babies in their hands.
Exactly. And like... When stuff like this happens, it's just very disheartening, and it's such a sort of a stain on the medical profession in general.
And I guess we have to keep reiterating every time we do this that there are just pure angels out there. Doctors, nurses, and all the other professions in the medical field. You take such good care of the patients, and you give it your all, and you spend time and holidays away from your families and your children. And then you just have motherfuckers like this lady.
Very well said, Devin. I love it. All right. So, again, we're just going to talk about the trigger warning here because, again, we're talking about Janine Jones, who murdered and harmed a lot of infants and babies that were in her care. And if talking about the deaths and the loss of infants and children is not for you, maybe just skip these episodes. We can find another one. We can do other murdery things together. It doesn't have to be this murdery thing.
Nope.
There's lots of murder out there, lots of crime. Don't you worry. There'll be something for you.
We'll get off the baby stuff soon.
We will. We're going to wrap this
Hicks
up.
And now Janine Jones.
Yes, we got to move on.
We'll get off the baby hick.
We're going to move on.
The baby kick and...
We going to move on. So we are revisiting Janine Jones. So at this point, she's working at Bexar Hospital in San Antonio. There's been a lot of suspicion around the patient events and deaths that take place seemingly when she's working. She's behaving very oddly, and she has throughout her entire life. We discussed her early life, and now we're at the point where there's been a couple of very sentinel events with patients under her care, including the loss of many babies, and most recently a code involving a surgical patient who was doing really, really well and really had no reason to not do well. And the baby did pass away, and this really got the attention of the head surgeon on this baby's case, who's now starting to redirect attention towards Janine because he is very suspicious about the time that she spent with this baby. So
here we go.
Now, again, there's a lot of suspicion. There's a lot of hearsay. She's an obvious suspect because of her behavior, her insubordination, But there's no hard evidence. This girl is sneaky.
I think this is the part that always just gets me.
It's so hard.
Because I know in a court of law, like, you have to have it proven beyond any reasonable doubt. Right?
Exactly.
So I get that's why they have to have the hard evidence. But when you're just seeing this over and over and over again, how do you not? Come on.
I know.
Like, how do you not know it's Janine?
I know. Well, we do, though.
I know.
We know it's Janine. But here's the thing.
And how they can't just...
If they arrest her, Devin, and put her on trial...
And she'll get let off.
She would get let off and never be tried again.
I know. Double Jeopardy.
It's one of those things.
That was a really good movie when I was a kid.
Oh, God. I love that movie. Ashley Judd, you're a fucking queen. Fucking queen. Diane's never seen it.
You gotta see that movie.
We're renting it. We're gonna hold hands and eat popcorn together.
Double Jeopardy. That is totally up your alley.
Holding hands and eating popcorn. We should have another Devinism. Or was that a Kateism? Who said that?
I think that one was yours.
Yes!
I don't think that one came from me.
You've got enough awesome quotes without me helping you.
Twinkle the lights, feed the Santas.
That's my favorite. It's going on a t-shirt because it wins, also. The vote. The vote, definitely.
That's
that wins.
What you got me from Etsy.
No, but I should have! Oh, damn it! It's okay. I should have gotten you that. I did not. I got you something awesome, though. Don't worry. So.
We're talking about the gifts that we got each other for Christmas. How we're just pretty excited.
We are both really excited. I mean, so it's going to be a good Christmas.
We're talking about, we met at what, 18?
Oh, yeah.
So we're almost at half of our lives of best friendship.
Oh, God. We're so old.
Oh, you want to hear something?
Oh, gosh.
You want to hear a story about old?
Yep.
My son last night was holding a Christmas ornament, and it had my name in the year on the back of it, and it said Devin 1990, and I went, Andrew, you need to put that down. That's like 21 years old.
Yep. Put it down, Andrew.
And then I was kindly reminded it was not 21 years ago. It was 31 years ago. And it was like, oh, God. Oh, God. 31 years ago.
I do still have like a distinct feeling that like 1993 was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people in our generation share that. Diane is also nodding. Thank you, Diane.
Yeah.
God, what a time to be alive.
Praise be.
I know. All right. So, again, no hard evidence back to Janine. There's no proof that she's doing any of this. They have a lot of documentation, erroneous stuff. They have a lot of hearsay, a lot of conjecture, but nothing that's hard evidence, which is just a kind of a common theme in this podcast.
And frustrating as hell.
Exactly. So at the time, their solution was to take a move that a lot of other hospitals were taking at this time. And that was to remove all LVN positions from the inpatient medical floors and moving to an all RN model. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a good time for this to happen because they said, you know, we could just make this change happen. It would make Janine go elsewhere, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't have to be a big thing.
And that's almost like they're not targeting her.
Exactly.
It's a blanket new rule.
And also, it wouldn't shine any light on them as hospital administration for not having done a whole lot about these things that were being said about mm-hmm. Janine, because honestly, they're not doing a whole lot.
No.
So this was their solution at the time. Now, they moved to this model. There's a few LVNs, including Janine, on the floor that are like, huh. You know, they're all very upset. Mm-hmm. They're all feeling pushed out. So Janine angrily submits her resignation on March 17th of 1982. Even though she leaves, though, that begs the question, was Janine Jones murdering babies? And they had gotten rid of her while avoiding a media circus and a lawsuit. And that was all they cared about. So the inquiry really stopped there. Mm-hmm. As she departed, the rash of unusual deaths, of course, ceased completely. Janine's family, mostly her mom, really, never really got a great explanation of what happened. So just that everything was, quote, bureaucratic bullshit, mm-hmm. and that the doctors didn't know what they were doing, and that she was getting blamed for everything. So again, strong Charlie Cullen vibes here. Mm-hmm. So do you remember Dr. Kathy Holland?
The one she liked. Her BFF resident.
Her babies did really well under mm-hmm. Janine's care. Mm-hmm. So she had finished her residency. And again, she really aimed to open a pediatric clinic. And her and Janine had gotten real. Yep, her and Janine got real close, and she wanted Janine to work for her.
Anyone else tell where this is going?
Yeah, it gets real sad. So, in mid-June, while waiting for Kathy's clinic to open, she took a full-time gig at Santa Rosa Medical Center in downtown San Antonio. Now, she only worked there for about a month before announcing that she wouldn't work another day and offered no explanation and left. There weren't any events or evidence of events that I could find there. So she only spent a brief time there. I don't think she harmed anybody there, or at least nothing that is documented.
Okay.
Now, in August of 1982 was when Dr. Holland was set to open up her clinic in San Antonio's neighboring town of Kerrville, Texas. Now, Kathy knew about the rumors and suspicions. How could she not have heard that when it was all circulating around the PICU that she was working in?
You don't think that made her speculate? Like, yes, her patients did pretty well, but she's a doctor. She's smart.
Here's the thing, though. Exactly. She's a doctor and she's smart, but she thought she knew Janine better than anybody else. The two were really close. Janine is so manipulative that she was just able to sink her teeth into Kathy and use her.
I would just hope Kathy would be a little bit smarter than that. Like, Kathy, I get is it. Smart. She's manipulative.
Kathy is smart. She is a victim. Kathy is a victim of Janine. Sorry, Kathy. Okay, so she knew about the rumors and suspicions, but she had never herself experienced any issues with Janine. And in fact, it seemed like Janine could really save all of her patients if anything ever did go bad. And she watched her succeed in resuscitating so many kids that she was like, you know, she must be a good one. Mm-hmm. So
until
exactly. So the two spent a lot of time together, and Kathy even bought a small house in Kerrville, which she rented out to Janine so she could move out of her mom's house. So they were psyched about being a team, and they really became great friends. They spent a lot of time together. So Janine helped in setting up the clinic, and one of her tasks was ordering supplies, such as medications. Now, one medication that Kathy wanted to have in her clinic, at least in a tiny supply, was succinylcholine. So this medication is often referred to as sux in the medical community. Now, succinylcholine is a powerful muscle relaxant.
This is not one that I'm familiar with.
No, yeah. So it's not often given in, or not at all given in your setting that you work in.
Okay. So, would it be in a family practice, though?
So, and I'll tell you why she wanted it there.
Okay.
So it's a powerful muscle relaxant, often used as a paralytic, and it's given intravenously. It's almost exclusively administered by either anesthesiologists or specialized nurses during sedation procedures.
So this is similar, again.
Similar to the vacuronium that we talked about.
Say.
Yep. So it keeps patients from gagging or clenching their teeth while breathing tubes are inserted. So it causes like a flash temporary paralysis of the entire skeletal muscle system, which leaves patients completely incapable of breathing on their own. So again, you would never give this to somebody who's not on a breathing tube because it will kill them. So Dr. Holland had requested it in case the need arose for her to emergently place an ET tube in her clinic.
Okay.
So one of the scary things about sucks is that it's virtually undetectable in a patient's system. Really? It has an extremely short half-life, meaning it's metabolized very quickly, and it's really only used to cause like a very brief moment of paralysis during intubation. And does not have really a prolonged effect.
During intubation, yes. But not continuously.
Exactly.
While intubated?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that it's actually, because of the extremely short half-life, it's virtually undetectable in people's systems, and it's often referred to as doctor's poison, weirdly enough.
Or Janine's poison.
So they got their supplies. They hired a receptionist. They put an announcement in the paper, and they were ready to go in their clinic. On the Monday they opened, they saw one patient, but all went well, and they knew business would pick up eventually.
Don't tell me she did it on the first day.
No, not the first day. Not the first day. So Tuesday, August 24th.
The second day.
So Tuesday, this is clinic day two, okay? And this is August 24th of 1982. A 14-month-old named Chelsea Ann McClellan was brought in for concerns of shortness of breath as she had a very bad cold. Now, while Dr. Holland was chatting with her mom and taking a medical history, she was, like, doing exactly what 14-month-old stupid kids do when they like tool around and just touch everything and get into everything and they're
not sit still.
Not sit still and they don't listen to anything. And God, kids, right? Toddlers. So she was like climbing stuff and being normal. So Janine offered to, quote, take her in the back room to play while the two of them talked. So that happened. The next thing, Janine yells for Dr. Holland to come quick. She stopped breathing. The child was limp, blue, and not breathing at all. So they bagged her. They started an IV. They called EMS to transport her to the hospital. By the time they arrived...
No, don't say it.
Hold on. By the time they arrived, she had started breathing on her own. She was transported to Sid Peterson ER. Now, Sid Peterson is a hospital that neighbors them in Kerrville. So a lot of these patients ended up in their ER. So she made a full recovery, thankfully. And her parents raved about how Janine and Dr. Holland saved her life.
So quickly.
And they acted so quick and knew just what to do and how she received great care at this new PD office. So time,
how manipulative of her.
I know. So time rolls on. Stuff starts to get weird again. So a similar episode happened with another patient by the name of Brandy Lee Benitez.
Sounds like she was very picky and choosy on which patients...
She seems to be.
That she can be explained a little bit.
So, yeah, and wait for it because this comes full circle a little bit. So, Brandy Lee Benitez is a one-month-old infant, a tiny little beautiful baby angel who came in that same week. Now, under their care, she again became, not again, but she also became limp and lifeless, stopped breathing suddenly. Heroic measures ensued on the parts of Dr. Holland and Janine. And after 6 days in the hospital, she too made a full recovery.
Okay.
So they bonded further. Like, oh,
sounds
my God.
Sounds like she was doing this to start to make a name for themselves.
Oh, my God. Two respiratory arrests in 1 week. We just are saving lives. We're bonding.
Go to
oh
them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So
they're wonderful.
Exactly. So that following week, two more kids had life-threatening respiratory arrest events in the clinic. Two more. So this is 2 weeks, four children who neared death under their care. Even in the first 2 weeks of being open...
Still no suspicion from Kathy.
Well, no, but even in the first 2 weeks of being open, this started to raise eyebrows among the community and among Sid Peterson's staff. Exactly. Now, Sid Peterson's staff kept getting all these kids from them and was like, okay, what is happening? Now, rumors started to circulate, especially when Sid Peterson's staff found out who that nurse was, because apparently Janine's sordid past had reached neighboring hospitals. And there were rumors floating around Sid Peterson about this nurse who worked at Bexar and was killing babies and blah, blah, blah.
All these babies died and now look.
Exactly. And now Janine's here. So
where these children are doing cardiac arrest.
So immediately people were like, what's happening now? A physician who used to work at Bexar worked in the Sid Peterson ER and was receiving some of these patients. Now, Kathy, I guess this physician reached out to Kathy at one point and said, did you really hire Janine? And Kathy defended her. She said,
right,
you know,
any good friend would.
Exactly. She said, you know, she's doing a great job. She saved all these lives. Like, we're working really well together. You know, don't say that about Janine. And and to which this other physician replied, okay, if it's Janine, I'm not accepting any admissions from your clinic. If Janine is with them, do not send Janine along with any of your hospital transfers, because I'm just not having that. So this one doctor's like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm not cleaning up a Janine mess. F no. So moving into September, Janine tells Dr. Holland that during an inventory, she found that one of their bottles of sucks was missing. She told Janine to log it as missing and order a new vial if she couldn't find it. And that was the most she ever heard about this missing vial of sucks. Now,
Kathy, that was the most Kathy.
That was Kathy. That was the most she heard about it. Yep. So Friday, September 17th of 1982 rolls around. Chelsea McClellan, remember her? She was the first kid that was sent to the ER from this clinic.
Okay.
The 14-month-old toddler with respiratory arrest.
Yep.
Respiratory arrest. Yep. She had a cold and went into respiratory arrest. So Chelsea McClellan's brother, Cameron, had an appointment with Dr. Holland. Now, Chelsea came with, of course, with their mom. Mm-hmm. And she had recovered nicely, seemingly had no lasting ill effects after her event. But they were all there because the brother needed to be seen because they were both due for vaccines and also the brother needed a physical. So during the appointment, Janine drew up these syringes, or quote-unquote vaccines, and to...
Oh, come on.
I know. And to both...
This case is not going to help the current scenario that we're in right now.
No, it's I not. Mean... It's not.
Oh.
I know. So she administered Cameron and Chelsea the injections. Moments later, Chelsea, the sister, older sister, who already had an event, started having trouble breathing. She turned blue and seized. So they bagged her immediately. EMS was called and IV was started. Dr. Holland intubated her. En route, she coded, and after rounds of CPR and medications, Chelsea Ann McClellan, at 15 months old now, was dead. This is so hard. I know. I know. That's awful.
Sorry. I had nothing to say. My hands were just in my head.
What do you say?
My head was in my hands, horrific.
This is just so horrific and awful. I was tearing up as I was reading about this also. Now, this series of events was super suspicious.
What about her brother?
Her brother, I think, got a vaccine or some saline. He was the lucky one. Very sad. So Dr. Holland, at this point, is completely perplexed. She's like, "What? Okay, at this point, why the hell does this keep happening?" And she was determined to find out what happened. So she recommended an autopsy, which the parents signed off on. Now, following this, more and more kids from the Holland Clinic would have episodes of respiratory arrest, and they would quickly improve. Now, Kathy was helpless and even started getting really depressed. She was in denial about Janine completely.
Really?
Yes, she was. So, and she was like, "What am I doing wrong? You know, I feel like everyone's against us."
This is almost like somebody who's in an abusive relationship, like husband and wife.
She just cannot comprehend that Janine is at the center of all this. She refuses to acknowledge.
Almost like a wife.
Exactly. She's very much a victim in this. Although I do wish that she had acknowledged earlier. Because she was aware of the rumors and she was aware.
But now that all of this is happening, like, she was aware of the rumors, but sure, her patients were great. But Kathy, your patients are not great right now.
No, they're not.
A child came in for a vaccine and they died.
Exactly. This should not have happened. Completely avoidable. So this rash of episodes was not going unnoticed in the medical community in Kerrville. And the nursing staff in the ICU would often say the kids were fine while in their care and weren't even sick enough to be in the ICU by the time they got there. Because, again, this medication, this succinylcholine, is so fast acting that if they were resuscitated, they had improved clinically substantially by the time they got there.
Because the medication's worn off.
Exactly. So as soon as Janine leaves their side, everything seems to get better, essentially. Now, word quickly spread in the ED that a patient was on their way from Dr. Holland's clinic one day
after
a respiratory arrest once again. Now, this hospital is like, what is going on at this clinic? So immediately, a crowd of doctors rushed to meet them there, including two anesthesiologists. Okay. Now, anesthesiologists, remember, are very familiar with succinylcholine and its effects.
Mm-hmm.
So when the patient arrived, her color and breathing had improved. But something that one of the anesthesiologists noticed was that she was trying or struggling to raise her right arm. The child was. Now, this anesthesiologist's name was Dr. Bradley, and he had had seen this particular movement many times before, and quickly it clicked. This child is coming out from under succinylcholine. I don't know why.
Really? So
yes.
That's a thing. Like,
apparently, it is a thing.
Paralysis.
Yes. Not even paralysis, but raising the right arm is apparently some kind of phenomenon with succinylcholine in particular. So he'd seen it a million times in the OR. So he passed his assessment of the situation on to the admin at Sid Peterson that somehow kids at Holland's clinic were receiving succinylcholine. And it all made sense with how quickly they're improving, these respiratory arrests.
Right.
It all made sense. So Dr. Holland was called to meet with a committee of administrators at the hospital. They started cross-examining her. They shined a light on her. What drugs do you keep in your office? What ones have you used? Have you ever administered succinylcholine to a patient? Are you aware of the events in San Antonio surrounding your nurse, Janine?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I just don't have any answers. You know, after the interview, she told Janine that at the office to find that bottle of succinylcholine that you lost. It needs to be found and accounted for now.
And not just logged as a missing item.
No, we need to find that and account for it so that I can know and we can all know that this is not happening here. So,
I want to know what she said to her.
This is so intense, I'm telling you.
I want to know.
So, Monday, September 27th, 1982, Holland starts checking all of the medication inventory herself. Now, she opens the medication fridge where the succinylcholine was kept. There should have been two bottles of sucks there because she had originally ordered two bottles. One was stocked and she had instructed Janine to order another one. So if all was well, as according to Janine, there should have been two full bottles there, right? Mm-hmm. There were two bottles. Kathy held the bottles up to the light. Both were equally full. One had the plastic sterile cap on it and one did not. And on close inspection, there were large needle holes in the rubber stopper of one of the bottles. Yes. So Kathy, this was the moment. Kathy realized
Kathy came to light.
That Janine is doing this. She had to be because she's the only other one in the office that would draw up a medication and administer it for any reason. And she knew it wasn't her. Like, she knew it wasn't me.
And it goes along with the pattern and the reputation that Janine has.
So
Kathy finally has a clue.
Finally, Kathy.
Kathy, I like you,
we
but
like
I'm just
Kathy.
Upset of how long
it
took you.
I know,
it
took you a
there.
While, Kathy. It really did. I wish it didn't take you that long. So she confronts Janine and asks for an explanation. Janine kind of tries to brush it off, and she just said, I don't know, I think the vial is missing. Like, let's just throw it away. Like, everyone thinks it's missing. Let's just throw it away. Kathy's like, no, Janine. What the actual fuck is going on? Why are there puncture holes in this medication vial?
Right.
There's no reason for this to be here.
Right.
Tell me what's going on.
Yes.
They had a break in their patients. Kathy was heated, so she left the office because Janine wasn't telling her anything. Now, in the afternoon, she did have a patient coming, so she had to return. And when she approached Janine, Janine told her, I did something stupid. I just took a bunch of doxepin. Okay. Which is an anti-anxiety medication, an old school anti-anxiety medication. Kathy, of course, is like, oh, God. So she, of course, rushed her to the hospital. This was obviously a ploy to make Kathy
feel guilty
for calling her out.
You freaked me out. I'm really anxious.
Exactly. Now, this is how fucking manipulative this woman is. Now, once at the hospital, she admitted, oh, I only took four doxepin. It wasn't really an overdose. I just took four. So
go take a nap.
On September 28th, she asked Janine to not work there anymore. Finally, she was like, girl, this is super sketch. This is my name.
My practice.
I am being scrutinized for all of this. Like, this can't happen. So Janine is out of a job. Next few weeks, Janine's behavior gets a little bit more unstable. She would write Kathy all of these dramatic, vague notes that were all about not saying explicitly, I'm going to kill myself, but implying it, like really implying it to make her feel guilty. So, and she would say things like, I'll always love you, like purposefully trying to make her feel really guilty and like these could be suicide notes. So Kathy notified the Texas Rangers of the incident. And all of her concerns. That's what the cops are called down there. Isn't
that
cool? I know. I love that so much.
I'm calling in the Rangers.
What is it? Walker, Walker, Texas Ranger?
Do they have big hats?
I hope so. Guys in Texas, tell us. Ron Sutton is the DA of Kerrville's district, which is a small district. Not really a whole lot goes on. Remember, we're in a neighboring town from San Antonio. This is a smaller town. So when he receives a call from Texas Rangers about a baby-killing nurse, he thought of it as more of a witch hunt until he heard some of the details and he started realizing that this would like dwarf any other case that he would ever work on. He was like, holy shit, this is a huge deal. This is a big thing. So Sutton began to investigate. This is the first time in this entire situation that the law is actually getting involved, right? Because so far it's only really been
they didn't have
hospital administration
to get the law involved.
Exactly. So, it was tough to know where to start just because of the sheer volume of incidents that were linked to Janine. So, the state crime lab was given the bottle of sucks to analyze. And they found it was only 1/6 the normal concentration, even though it was completely full, which meant that Janine was withdrawing the drug and replacing it with saline or water.
So that it looked the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, in early November, Chelsea's autopsy came back And what it came back as was likely it was the cause. It was caused by SIDS. However, Sutton reached out to the
15 months old.
Yes, which I guess is possible, but it's very uncommon. I mean, SIDS is uncommon.
SIDS is uncommon already up to a year. Yes. So 3 months later.
Yes. So Sutton reached out to the pathologist to ask if a death from succinylcholine off of a breathing tube could present similarly. And she said, yes, absolutely it could. But on autopsy, it was impossible to determine the difference.
Really?
So there wasn't anything specific that they could look for.
But they can't rule it out.
They can't rule it out. Exactly. So Ron Sutton was starting a grand jury investigation, and that sort of was unfolding behind closed doors, as it often does. So Janine is still not really suspecting that the law is hot on her trail, thankfully. Dr. Holland was asked to contribute to the investigation and to testify. She agreed to contribute to the investigation, but she did not want to testify because she still had, you know, all this history with Janine and just felt like...
Wouldn't she kind of have to, though? Like... If at some
not
point,
necessarily,
I mean,
unless she
witness,
was
right?
If she's subpoenaed, then she would have to.
Right.
But right now, she's not being subpoenaed. She's only being asked.
Okay.
So she can say no. So the investigation included her time at the medical center as well. And after a long review, the grand jury finally determined that there was, again, no hard evidence. Mm. Even with the open and access diluted bottle of succinylcholine, there was
no
proof.
There's no evidence that she injected it into Chelsea.
This was devastating for investigators.
This is the same thing over and over with these people that are making these crimes.
And the people that
we have proof of how it was done,
yeah,
but not proof that they were the ones to do it.
Exactly. And what they need is, you know, a confession, an eyewitness account.
They need beyond reasonable
doubt.
Or
video evidence. Exactly. It needs to be beyond a reasonable doubt. So... meanwhile, Janine...
I'm angry.
I know. Devin's really... she's tense over here, you guys. So, meanwhile, Janine finds work at an adult residential facility. And Ron Sutton continues to investigate during all of this. Now, he goes to visit the DA of San Antonio, Sam Millsap. Now, this office was quite a bit larger, quite a bit more resources, because this is San Antonio. This is a major city.
Mm-hmm.
So... they were never kept aware of the happenings at the medical center in town because the hospital had done everything possible to keep it under wraps. This is Bexar Hospital, okay? Now, Millsap and Sutton start working together, and they start a criminal investigation into the deaths at Bexar as well. So now things are starting to build a little bit more. They're getting a lot more circumstantial evidence.
And now they have the hospital.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So February 16th of 1983... news of the suspicious deaths were leaked to the press, and they did this on purpose. The DA office actually did this.
I'm sure.
And it was a strategic move. So they did this because the hospital was not responding to any of their inquiries about the investigation. And so they wanted to put the media pressure on them to get them to participate in the investigation.
Right.
So
because once people are angered, once people know about dead babies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they did publicly name Janine. And this is when Janine got light of, oh, man, people really
trouble.
Are starting to suspect me.
Trouble.
So they did name her as the prime suspect. And this instantly blew headlines across the country.
Of course.
So national attention. The spotlight felt real hard on Janine. Though she hadn't yet been charged, she did hire an attorney who reiterated that she had nothing to hide and there was no proof of her wrongdoing.
Of course.
So...
do you ever wonder how defense attorneys sleep at night?
Oh, every day. Not every day, maybe. But anytime I hear of a defense attorney that...
I mean, I get everybody deserves a fair trial, but...
thank you, defense attorneys out there who do the right thing.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
You know?
It's just sometimes...
sometimes it's like, you know...
Sometimes it's just hard.
It's
just hard.
It's hard to wrap my head around it. I know. Everybody needs a fair trial, though.
Yep.
Everybody needs a fair trial. She was subpoenaed for questioning, so she had to go. So during her questioning, she had plenty to say and just...
Janine?
She just would not shut up. She blatantly disregarded her attorney's advice to shut the fuck up, actually. And she wove this whole ass tale of medical malpractice.
Oh,
she blamed agency nurses and residents and
with
travelers, called her coworkers incompetent. She was name dropping left and right. She even threw Dr. Holland under the bus. She said, and I quote, "I was just following her orders."
Mm.
That infuriates me.
No, you weren't.
You were doing your own ass thing.
Yeah.
So there was a press conference 8 days later, at which point Janine said to the press, "I didn't kill any children. I'm being singled out for advocating for my patients, and doctors don't like being told when they did something wrong."
Doctors don't like when you killed their patients.
Exactly. So
keep it up, Janine. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Here is the turning point. Finally, an eyewitness account.
Oh, really?
Kathy Ferguson, a roommate of Janine's and a co-worker in Holland's office, came forward because she once witnessed her remove a clear vial from a drawer and draw up a syringe full of liquid. She placed it back in the drawer. She administered the syringe to the child. Moments later, they had a respiratory arrest. And in the meantime, Chelsea's parents also filed a lawsuit against both Janine and Dr. Holland over the death of their daughter. So finally, somebody saw Janine give the kids something.
And that's enough, even though there's no proof of what that is?
It's an eyewitness account of a very suspicious series of events.
Pulling something out of a drawer, because a vaccine's coming from a fridge.
Exactly. So finally, the grand jury reopens an investigation, and they were able to finally indict Janine Jones.
That's true. That is enough to say that there's evidence for a trial.
Exactly.
True. Good.
So they finally indict Janine in San Antonio and in Kerrville on only two counts, unfortunately. Attempted murder of one-month-old Ronaldo Santos and the murder of Chelsea McClellan. Mm. Yeah. So sad. Now, while awaiting trial, shockingly enough, Bexar County Medical Center pulled an unprecedented move. The hospital had been subpoenaed for their records, right? Okay, from the grand jury. They shredded 9,000 pages of medical records, all from the time Janine Jones worked at Bexar.
Again, more Charles Cullen vibes.
Yes!
These hospitals, because they're afraid of getting sued.
Yes! Like, haven't we crossed that line, though? There's a subpoena for medical records. Do it, like, honestly.
And, like, also, can't you get sued for, like, there's certain laws of medical records you gotta keep, right?
Not at this time. Remember, a lot of that came out of some of these cases, and we talked about that with Charles Cullen a little bit.
True, and thankfully so, because this is not right.
And not in every state, right? So, because of this, Bexar never faced any legal recourse for failing to report suspected criminal activity by a staff member. And also, they were never prosecuted for shredding these documents. Jerks.
So, fuck you, Bexar.
Right? My God. So during the first trial in February of 1984, she was sentenced to 99 years in prison.
99? Why not 100?
I don't know. That would have been a good round number. You would think. 99 is kind of... Okay. So during the second trial, she received an additional 60 years. So a total of 159 years.
And the second
years.
Trial was for what?
So there was one in Bexar County. Or I'm sorry, one in San Antonio and one in Kerrville.
For the same charges.
Because they were in two different jurisdictions. Yes. So since being in jail, she has confessed to killing and attempting to kill dozens of babies in the PICU and at the clinic.
Figures I'm in here 150 years.
Yep,
let's roll
who cares,
it out.
Right? The number of confirmed infants that she has killed is 11. The estimated true number is somewhere around 60. And the attempts are in the hundreds.
Oh, God.
Isn't that unimaginable?
Oh.
Now, fast forward to 2018. This is only a few years ago.
Oh, God.
She was scheduled to be released due to overcrowding
and
good behavior.
No.
Don't worry. No panic. So the San Antonio DA office, though, rushed to create another case for five additional attempted murders that she had not yet been tried for because there were just so many.
Right.
They said, let's build five more cases. So they did. She pled guilty and she was sent back to jail. So they closed that little loophole that she was going for.
Take out somebody else if it's too crowded.
Thank the Lord.
Take out somebody else.
My goodness. So let's talk a little bit about her motive and like what might be an underlying diagnosis for her. So
psycho.
Can we just underline that a couple of times? Mm. So at one point in her trials, she tried throwing everything off by saying, the voices told me to.
Oh, schizophrenic?
Yeah. This, she admitted, though, later that that was utter bullshit.
That there was no voices.
She said, no, no, there wasn't any voices. I was just trying to build an insanity case or whatever. Nobody bought it anyway. I mean, everyone knew, you know, that she was just fucking, you know, awful. So in a 1998 interview with the parole board, she did admit and said, quote, I really did kill those babies, end quote. It's so heartbreaking for these families.
But still, we just don't
well,
know why.
The motive largely is inexplicable. And it seems, though, that she loved the thrill of the code and she loved feeling like a hero. She also loved the attention that she got through her devastation at the deaths of these babies. And she had such extreme reactions.
And probably the celebration when she was able to save one of them. Because exactly. She knew exactly what was happening.
Exactly. Now, psychiatrists who studied the case have theorized that she meets criteria for something called histrionic personality disorder. Mm-hmm. Now, let me list the criteria for this, and you tell me who it sounds like, shall we? Mm-hmm. Okay. Number one, feeling uncomfortable if one is not the center of attention. Number two, dramatic, theatrical, and excessively emotional personal presentation. Three, shallow and labile emotions. Four, inappropriate, seductive, flirtatious, and provocative behavior.
So,
can we just check all of those boxes?
When you put
or?
Janine Jones in the Webster Dictionary, do all of those things come
I
up?
I feel like a definition of histrionic personality disorder just jumps in there. So, she also later claimed that some of her deaths were, quote, some of her murders were, quote, mercy killings. And that believed that many of these babies would grow up to be dependent in care due to their brain injuries or had irreversible.
I don't care either.
You don't get to decide who lives and dies.
You don't play God.
Period. You don't get to make that call. Okay. Now, I am going to go ahead and play you guys a clip. This is from Janine Jones's sentencing. Now, this was, I think, just from back in 2018. And if we
so probably one of the other cases to keep her in jail, right?
Yep. So this is actually the parents of Joshua Sawyer, that one of the little babies at Bexar County that met his end with Janine. And if you just look at these poor people and you look at this little photo of Joshua, I mean, he is just the sweetest. Can you see that, Devin?
Yeah, I can.
Chunkiest, most beautiful little baby. Aww. Yeah. I mean, he
is
just
his dad?
That is his father
so,
and mother right here.
So 2018. So I mean, this you're probably like, and what, 25, 30 years later, right?
Yeah, something like
maybe
that.
Maybe say mid-70s.
Yeah, something like that. Absolutely.
25 years later.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and just play what they had to say about Janine.
My sister Teresa and I, as well as the rest of our family, are glad today that you will never see daylight as a free woman. And your life will end in captivity for killing my son, Joshua Earl Sawyer. You should have to serve 1 year for every year of life you robbed from the babies that you murdered. Although that's not possible, you should definitely serve the remainder of your life in prison for the babies' lives that you cut short.
So that was Joshua's family. So just very sad, very heartbreaking. So I wanted
to... These poor families, I am so sorry.
It's so sad. It's literally so sad. Now...
I'm sorry for everything that you went through because of the hell that this woman did to you.
Us too. I can't imagine living through that. It's so upsetting. Now, I got a lot of my information from this wonderful book called The Death Shift, and it's all about Janine Jones and goes into a lot more detail about a lot more cases. So if you want to know more about this, go ahead and pick it up. It's by Peter Elkind, and I will link it in the show notes for you guys so you can peek at it. I also got a lot of my information from NBC News articles and a lot of newspaper articles from around the time back in the 70s and 80s when all of this started coming to light. So that is the case.
As much as this was hard to hear, thank you.
It was important.
Thank you for bringing it up and doing the research. I can't imagine how you felt as a mom of two, just shifting through all this to put this piece together.
It was really rough. It was real rough. But an important story to tell, again, nonetheless. It's one of those things that, you know, if it were my baby and it had happened so many years ago, I'd want people to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd want people to keep talking about my baby. and what they went through.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And hopefully keep it from it happening to any other babies or any other person.
Exactly.
All right.
So if you guys want to pop on Instagram and check us out, we always have a lot of awesome content on there and on Facebook and on Twitter. Extra pictures and things to go along with all of our episodes. You can find us.
And some stuff, too, to actually see our faces.
Yes, you can see our faces. Also videos. Videos are fun. So you can find us at Med Crimes Podcast on Instagram. Send us a Twitter.
I love that part. Twitter.
At MedCrimes PC, or you can find us on Facebook by searching MedCrimes Podcast. So until
and
next
also,
time.
And also, I guess I'll just say, if you wish to become a Patreon, you can us at www.patreon.com/MedCrimes.
Yes.
Until the next episode, guys. Thank you.
Bye. We love you.
Bye.